bill stands.
We'll make just
procedural.
Just so in a court of law, we protect the Coast Guard, the Public Health Service, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration will replace that motion after we adopt Senator Hanlon's motion. Any further discussion?
Senator Hanlon
voice is a
good morning.
Must be Friday. Must be my birthday.
Your birthday.
It is. Well, I sang happy birthday to me this morning. It must be.
Those of us that were on time.
See, any further discussion on Representative Hanlon's motion? Is there an objection to Representative Hanlon's motion? If not, so ordered. Representative Traeger now moves. Do you have some language for us, Dave?
Yes.
We still need to.
No, not quite yet. Okay, the suggested language for Section 8, page 2 of the amendments was the Department of Revenue may enter into an agreement with the appropriate United States agency or instrumentality for the voluntary withholding.
Mr. Chair, I so move.
Is there an objection to the Traeger motion? Not so ordered. We now have the bill as amended before us. Representative Hanlon moves Senate Bill 182 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Tilda, please call the roll on the motion. You can't vote, President Kitzhaber.
You're in my hearing.
That's true. Go ahead, Tilda.
Representatives Cloury?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Ostica?
Aye.
Hugo?
Aye.
Bakken?
Aye.
Schoon?
Aye.
Traeger?
Aye.
Burroughs?
Aye.
Troop?
Aye.
Yeah, well, we don't know, but she won't accept it.
Interesting.
You want a report from the Speaker's office?
Yes, report from the Speaker's office.
Well, my tea leaves tell me swans and mountain sheep are out.
Right. Oh, really? We're swans just, yes. And mountain sheep. Yes.
How about sturgeon?
Oh, I forgot to ask.
And how about perch?
Bottom fish.
I forgot to ask about
it.
I'm so sorry, I forgot sturgeon.
Our hydroelectric
that
bill in.
Yeah, I'll go into the revenue committee and bring it over.
Hydroelectric,
it was
please.
50% increase.
Well, the last item on our agenda this morning is Senate Bill 189. Representative Burroughs, who did you have managing that?
I have Hugo.
Oh, yeah. Did you, Roy?
I do. I thought I want him to carry on the floor, be persuasive.
Okay. See, we have Senate Bill 189. It looks like a rather lengthy item. Representative Hugo, would you like to have Steve Meyer present?
Why don't you have Steve take a shot first while I review the bill?
Steve,
do
you want Hanlon to carry
182? Yeah, please.
Okay, this is a bill that has several items in it. I don't know if I can characterize it as a housekeeping bill or not for the Department of Revenue. Section 2 deals with the Department of Revenue being able to ask the Oregon Tax Court to suspend the statute of limitations for a period of 90 days when they go to the tax court to subpoena information from a taxpayer for audit purposes. The point is that if they are trying to, if they're towards the end of the three-year period that they have to audit the return and they need information to base their decision on and they go to tax court to request that, they don't want the taxpayer to have a opportunity to delay beyond the cutoff date for giving them the information. So this would allow a 90-day extension.
Yeah.
Section 3 deals with a procedure that the Department of Revenue goes through to with the Oregon Tax Court to require a person to show why or a just cause for not filing a return. This they can currently do this under the statutes that are called the mandamus statutes, and it was pointed out to them by a tax court judge that that probably was not the proper statute for them to do that under, so that they are adding Section 3 here to take it, the place of the mandamus provisions. Okay, the next, and there are some amendments to that section as well, clarification. The next section, Section 4, deals with the IRS and the department.
In a very verbose fashion, I might
yes. Basically, what that tries to do is to extend a taxpayer's time of appeal to the state if the taxpayer has appealed to the IRS. In a situation where there has been an IRS audit or adjustment of the taxpayer, and based upon that audit, the state also makes a deficiency ruling against the taxpayer, and the taxpayer ignores the state notice because they have appealed the federal IRS notice, and consequently have a situation where they think because they have timely appealed with the IRS, that they have also timely appealed to the state. And that's not the case. So that you can have a situation where the taxpayer appeals to the IRS, wins his case, but because he thought he timely appealed with the state, and lets the time pass by to request a conference or hold a hearing with the department, he in effect loses the state assessment, right, and is required to pay it even though he won his case with the IRS. So this section here would give them additional time than if they have for the state appeal, basically starting the process over again once the state is aware that they have appealed with the IRS.
Okay.
All right. On page 3, subsection 9, by amendment of the subcommittee, recommendation was deleted. This would allow the Department of Revenue to, wait a minute, make sure, let's see, to have an extension of time in which to hold a conference with the taxpayer if they did not do so timely in the one-year period allowed. There was a court case where the taxpayer had requested with the department a conference, and the department did not hold that conference within the one-year time period. The department went on, took the taxpayer to court, and the tax court denied the department's position because there was not a timely conference given by the department, and the taxpayer could show that that they had requested the conference. So this would, in effect, say that if a timely conference hadn't been held, that there would be a 90-day period then for the department to go back and hold the conference and start the process over.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hugo?
And as Steve pointed out, that section was deleted by the subcommittee.
By the amendments, by the proposed amendments.
And that was the controversial issue of the bill.
We were not unanimous, if I recall, on that deletion. Excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Burroughs?
What the Senate would have done, they would have allowed the payment, but not the penalty and interest. And a majority of the subcommittee wished to delete that whole section. We were not unanimous on that, but majority rules.
Okay.
Just in this body, it's always numbers.
The next change.
16, 31. Excuse me.
One.
One.
As in the go. Mm-hmm.
The next change is on page 4 of the bill. It eliminates the Department of Revenue having to send a notice of assessment if the taxpayer has already paid his tax deficiency before the department gets around to sending the notice. So that would save a mailing. Okay, then the next change is on page 5. Where the mailing date instead of the receipt date starts the clock running for the 30-day period in which the taxpayer has to request a conference with the department.
Mm-hmm.
when they receive.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask Steve a question?
Representative Burrows?
Did the subcommittee delete subsection 6?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
On page 5.
Yeah, okay. That's what I have remembered when I wrote.
Okay, and then the last change on page 5 would extend the time for a tax deficiency notice to 1 year from the time of granting a refund claim, if that should exceed the three-year period, which is the normal three-year statute of limitations, so that if the department receives an amended return requesting a refund, and it's near the end of that three-year period, that the department could go ahead and send them a refund check, but then still have a year in which to audit that return, and not have to audit that return within a narrow time before that normal three-year period might end. Okay, and then again, yes, the sub 6 language on page 5 is the same language as on page 3 with regard to the court case, and the amendments, proposed amendments by the subcommittee would delete that also.
By having that included in sub 3, it was deemed to be unnecessary in sub 6?
It's the same language, one for personal, one for corporate.
Okay. Included for one and not the other?
No, they're saying for neither.
Okay.
For neither. Being consistent.
Okay. Anything to add, Representative Hugo?
No. Mr. Chairman, the only thing I think that the large block of language going from bottom of page 2 to page 3 is an IRS notice, as Steve pointed out. Some people evidently have felt they've made timely actions with the IRS and assumed that timely action applied to the state, and it doesn't.
And as I said earlier, section 9 on page 3 was, as I recall, the only real substantive debate we had. What's good for the goose is good for the gander is what we decided. If the Department of Revenue can't handle it in a year period, tough. They're asking for, if something fell through the cracks, and they found it after that year, they wanted a 90-day extension. And we said no. On page 4, that was kind of a funny one. The department would have to tell you you've got a deficiency, even though they had your check covering the deficiency. So this simply says if you've paid it, you don't have to be noticed. And 4, 5, and 6 on page 5 are fairly clear on the refund. As I recall, there's testimony that if the refund's a debatable amount, the taxpayer may say that the refund's 100 and the department may say it's 95. The department can send the 95 now, and then you can argue over the $5. And by sending that $95 refund, the department's not losing its audit capabilities. They're not agreeing to anything. We're just settling on what the lowest figure that both parties agree to, and then go ahead with let the clock start running. Is that your assessment, William? Okay.
Please.
Substantively?
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't want to confuse that with Senate Bill 190 that dealt with their refund checks and our situation.
Okay. I was confusing it, wasn't I?
I think so.
Okay. Perhaps I'll have Berlina to explain Section 4, 5, and 6 then.
Okay. For the record, I'm Berlina Crosley, Oregon Department of Revenue. Basically, what Subsection 4 does is allows us to extend the statutory limitation for getting amounts back when we've refunded close to the statutory limitation. This is the same way that federal does it. Basically, the taxpayer has 3 years in which to amend a return, and some of them do that right at the end of the three-year period. And we just issue the refund out. We don't audit it or anything. And then sometimes that three-year statutory period also applies to the department in which we can send out a deficiency notice. So there are some instances, we try to catch them, but there are some instances where we've refunded an amount larger than we should have, and we are not even allowed by the statutes right now to bill back, and sometimes those are fairly large amounts. And this would allow us to do that for that one particular item that we gave them back, money that they should not have given it for. It does not open up the whole return.
Okay, any further questions for the Department of Revenue?
Mr. Chair.
Jim Craighorn.
Going back to Section 2, first part as well. would you explain to me again why, when you've got a three-year period, which you could ask for a subpoena and go through this process, why you wouldn't be able to ask for another 90 days?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Trahern, this applies to both the three-year statutory deficiency period that we have and also the one-year assessment period that we have. What happens is we're in the process of an audit, and some of these are corporation audits that do take some time, and also personal income tax or other types of taxes. Toward the end of the deficiency period or the assessment period, we realize that the taxpayer is not going to give us books, accounting records, et cetera, that we need to finish the audit. There's a refusal on the part of the taxpayer to do that. We then have the right under the current law to go to the tax court to get the records, and many times that's a very lengthy process, and because of that, by the time we get the paper in hand, whatever that paper is called, and I forget, from the tax court ordering the taxpayer to give us those records or to answer our request, our normal one-year statutory period or the three-year has expired. This would extend it 3 months longer after the taxpayer has delivered those books. It would give us 3 months to look at those books and then send out the deficiency or the assessment notice.
Further questions?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hugo?
There is a significant amendment. Steve, do you want to do the amendments? Or?
Yes. Anything further on the bill? Steve, you want to walk us through the amendment treatment?
Okay, the amendments are Senate Bill 189A-2 by Council. The first portion of the amendments there are to Section 3 of the bill in terms of the kind of a clarification of the language, and I think it was that clarification was requested by the court judge also, right, to make sure that there wasn't any problem there in terms of what the tax court would have to do, and it also added the provision that if the person fails to answer within the time prescribed for the order entered into the tax court, then the taxpayer's failure to do so would be punishable as contempt of court. So it adds a enforcement provision for the court. The other amendments there just deal with deleting the language sub 9 on page 3 and the 5 on correct and renumber.
See, could you give a little more explanation on the contempt of court? I wouldn't do any more in detail.
No, I don't have more explanation of that.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, in answer to your question, what Carl Byers, which was pro tem tax court judge, when he reviewed this bill, he would like these amendments made. And basically what the current language does is says that the taxpayer has certain number of days in which to give the tax court information or to file the return, et cetera. It does not say what happens if they do nothing. And right now that is contempt of court. That's just current law. But it makes it very clear in this language that that is what the penalty is.
Okay. Questions or discussion? Thank you. Representative Hugo,
I would move the amendments, Council Amendment 189A-2.
Representative Hugo moves the dash 2 amendment. Discussion? Is there an objection to the motion?
So ordered. Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hugo?
I would move Senate Bill 189 as amended to the floor of the due pass recommendation.
Discussion? Tilda, please call the roll on the motion.
Representative Schoon?
Aye.
Trahern?
No.
Cleary?
Aye.
Hanlon? Aye.
Ostica?
Aye.
Hugo?
Aye.
McCracken?
Aye.
Burrows?
Aye.
Troop?
Aye. Motion's adopted. Any vote explanation?
Well, Mr. Chairman, a quick one, if I might. I'm not real upset about this thing. I just haven't understood it well enough, and I think we're giving a lot of additional powers to the department that I get real concerned about. Maybe just fine, but I'm going to have to sit out and read it over a couple of times.
Well, I'm certainly willing to reconsider the vote and hold it over if you'd like to look at it, or if you want to proceed forward, either way.
Mr. Chairman, if the committee would like to hold it over till the first of the week, well, I would appreciate it, but I'm not terribly upset. I'm just nervous about it.
Sure. Representative Clory?
Mr. Chairman, I just am at least a little embarrassed about the fact that I found a substantial letter in my file here from a constituent.
He testified before the committee.
Oh, did he?
Yes. And his attorney.
Oh, okay. So that was all same one, I assume.
I would ask that the chair hold the bill. The bill passed the Senate with no dissenting votes. The president's Senate was excused. And I think if one of our members votes no, it's a red flag to everyone that something's out of kilter. And I would be more comfortable if we gave all the members time to be more comfortable. At least we'll I would be very pleased if we could hold it open.
Okay.
Over, not open.
Well, chair moves that we reconsider the vote by which we sent Senate Bill 189 to the floor with a
do pass recommendation. Is there an objection? If not, we'll reconsider the vote. The main motion is now before us. Representative Hugo, would you kindly withdraw the motion?
I withdraw the motion.
Okay. And we will schedule it in some kind of normal rotation next week. And if any member of the committee, as you go through it, has any difficulties with it, please report to me if you would. And we would like to resolve whatever differences there may be before we do move it out. Anything else to come before the committee? Let's see if I can settle on the schedule for next week. Monday will be 2232, which is the Farm Home Site Bill and the amendments that were offered by a variety of groups.
2232?
Yes. Isn't that the number?
Yes. Yeah.
That will be up Monday. Tuesday, I think is, I don't have it in front of me. I apologize. Do you have it, Tilda?
No,
I think I Tuesday is House Bill 2350, which is the unfunded marine fuel. I'm certain all of you have been receiving as many letters as I have. And also we have 2865, whatever it is, the ski resort and the other kinds of resorts on federal land, that issue.
Yeah.
Here we go. Thank you. Okay, on Monday, 2232. On Tuesday, 2739, which is the resort and the ski hill on federal property, that issue. And then also 2232 again. On Wednesday, we have a variety of measures, SB 180, HB 2164, HB 2020, and 189. On Thursday, no property tax subcommittee. So those of you that are on the property tax sub have a day off Thursday. Those of you that are on the income tax sub, unfortunately, you have to keep your shoulders to the wheel. And on Friday, I'm not certain what we'll do yet. I did schedule 2266 and 2177. The first is the gas tax bill. The second is the bonding for highway purpose measure. Discovered that Robin Lindquist, chairman of the House Transportation Committee, will be out of town until mid-morning next Friday, so we'll probably move that over to the following week, and I'm not certain at this time what we'll schedule on Friday, but I think we have plenty of work those first 3 days, and I'll get Friday scheduled and make that announcement on Monday.
Mr. Chairman?
James Gunn?
I didn't hear you read 2350, which I believe is the voting bill.
Yeah, he did.
He did read it.
I said that's on Tuesday.
I wrote it down. I even wrote it down.
No, it's a mistake. It's not up. I think it's up the following week. I was going by memory. 2232 Monday, 2232 and 2739 Tuesday. Possibly we can bring 2350 up Friday. Let's do that Friday. You interested in doing that Friday?
Yeah.
Okay. Steve, would you, in fact, I'm going to go talk to Jim now about it anyway, so don't worry about it. Anything, Rep. Sam Scone?
Sometime ago you mentioned that we would be taking a look at the various exemptions that are permitted, such as Social Security and the retired military and that sort of thing, in a general format, without necessarily looking at any specific bills. Are you still planning to do that?
Yes, on retirement in general?
Well, deferred or exempted
yes.
Incomes. Yeah.
We will, I can't remember the date again. I'll come in Monday with a long-range view. Jim and I have been working this week on trying to schedule through the end of the session. And on that whole question of retirement income and exempted income from taxation.
I believe it's 2 weeks from today.
2 weeks from today. Rather than bringing in specific bills, we'll have staff bring the issue in and try to take us top to bottom so we don't take one small piece and possibly make the situation worse than it currently is. So I'd like to have a thorough presentation on it so the committee understands exactly what income we are exempting and how we are treating the various retirees in the state. And rather than looking at specific bills to make those decisions, we can look at the total scope and determine whether or not we think some policy decisions need to be made by this committee this session, if that seems satisfactory.
Yep.
Just one more question.
Representative Scone?
I didn't see in our plan that we would have another time to look at timber taxes in any way, and Joe Wisensee, who you may remember from last session, has a another idea to increase productivity that would involve some tax shifts, and it's an idea that's original, that's worth listening to, I think. And so my question then is, will we be talking about forestry timber taxes again before we leave?
We will be talking about, we will have timber issues on the agenda. We have some timber issues we really need to act on. The Western Oregon severance tax distribution formula really isn't a classic timber issue, but it's one that we need to deal with, and we've included under the timber banner. Also, the harvest taxes for, what is it, OSU and something else. There's two harvest tax bills. Those sunset, and those need to be considered. And then we have a variety of other measures under the forestry banner that would make alterations in the tax code. Not too excited about scheduling all of them. If there's a compelling reason to schedule one or two, if there's some attention to it, that's fine. But there are some bills that look like there isn't sufficient support in the legislature that may reduce the tax code, and we haven't really done any budgeting in that area, so some of those we may never hear. But if the members of the committee have particular bills that you want to hear under forestry or any other, be sure and let me know. And I'll try to get to you a general idea of what I think we ought to schedule, and then any additions you have to that I want you to make. Say, Hostica?
Yeah, I believe under the general heading of timber, there's another bill that's in ag and forestry, which we're hoping they'll send us, that has to do with taxation for the purposes of trying to ameliorate the effects of landslides in coastal areas.
That would probably be one. I think that's a harvest tax bill too, and would probably go along with the other two. And there might be some possibility we might want to put all into one bill. So I think that's. I'm not sure what the Ag Committee is thinking of doing at this time. I think the Speaker is interested in having that bill come here for consideration. Anything else to come before the committee until we adjourn? Happy Easter to you all. See you Monday. Happy birthday.
Thank you, buddy. Slap to your house.